Blog Talk Radio.
Stick with me and we'll make history.
My Icotep and Better Love, you're listening to the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly. And tonight we have Yasmin, Yasmin Star. And she is one of the popular psychics / tarot readers that's on YouTube. And she gives us the honor to join us tonight. And she's going to talk about growing up in an occult. She's also going to talk about many different things. And she also has knows some things about health, too. Yasmin, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Beth?
Yes, I can. Thank you for joining us tonight.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And what is the name of your site that's on YouTube?
It's actually my name. It's Yasmin Star. It's Yasmin. I know, like I'm not
Yasmin.
Trying to be fancy, right?
It's
like Jasmine, but it's just with a Y, so it's just Yasmin Star.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. And so what got you into what you're doing now? Can you kind of tell us a little bit how you got into this?
Yes, so that's kind of where I want to kind of start with. And, of course, I want to kind of give people kind of like some background of who I am. So I am from Chicago, Illinois, born and raised. I wanted to title this dealing with a cult, because one thing that I noticed is that there were so many similarities with how cults worked with what we see today in the world. And you really don't know that until you're out. Okay. So, I was born in it. So from infancy, I was born in this cult-like setting. And a lot of it, what it was like was hierarchies. So you would have people that will work for the higher ups, kind of like the elite. And it was, kissing butt. It was all of that. It was just some weird stuff. But it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a career. It was like a job that, people would do. But one thing that I did notice is that it was the propaganda. So it's like my mind started waking up to a lot of stuff later on. So I remember one thing that really got me, it was of course the Mike Brown. That was one thing, because it was like horrible how they were talking about young black boys. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, like we're all supposed to be the same. And, every race up under the sun was there. And we're all supposed to be the same. We're all supposed to be, loving, that type of thing. And one time they had a particular, just everyone would see it all over the world. It was of a black woman cleaning toilets, and she was a single mother, heavy set, unattractive, the same images that we were seeing. I'm like, okay, now this is crazy. This is the same type of stuff you're seeing outside of the cult, And so it wasn't necessarily a reality for me. My friend was an accountant. I had went to school for medical. I had friends who were teachers. So I'm kind of like, there needs to be more so a positive message about us and not negative. But that was the things that I was saying. Now, I would say there were people there, most of the women, they were married. They had children. And also, one thing about this cult is that they wouldn't allow people to go to college. So it was like, well, there's no use to go to college because, you're living for the kingdom. But I think it was kind of like a trap. So even if you did figure out later on down the line that you were in a cult, you had no support. You had no money. And when you leave the cult, you don't have friends. You don't have family.
Mm.
It is probably one of the worst situations you could be in. I was a little fortunate because my family left with me, but there were people that I know that didn't have anyone. And some people actually commit suicide because of that. They didn't have anything. So when I did leave, it was horrible. And so when I did leave, I left at 37, which was, 2.5 years ago, 3 years, I'm 39 now. So I've been in it my whole life. So I'm still kind of like freshly out, okay? And so that's why I'm going to get to your question, It was the inconsistency. It was definitely dealing with race, things of that nature. But everywhere I looked, it was the same. But then I find myself more so in the spiritual. This is where I am in the spiritual world with Tarot. And I mm-hmm. love it. I was always intuitive, always. And I want to tell you, it's going to get a little bit later down the line, but I want to tell you how I even got to this point. But always intuitive, even when I was a child, it was one example that I'm going to use. It was funny because I was about 7. I was walking home from school, and, you know, I wasn't hearing voices. I was just walking mm-hmm. home from school. I was probably like a block away from my house, and like something popped up in my head and said, hey, the cat is dead. And I'm like, the cat is dead. So I go in the house, and the first thing my grandma say, hey, the cat died. Now, that's one of many instances that I've had throughout my life.
Right.
And some of those had something to do with saving myself in a winter storm, driving down the road. I was born and raised in Chicago, but I live in Indiana. Some of the worst mm-hmm. roads in Indiana, you can't see. Driving home in the dark, no one's on the road, snowy day, you can't see anything. Same situation. Watch out for the deer. And I'm like, there's no deer. It's snow outside. Okay, snow.
Right.
And true enough, not even, and like you couldn't see anything. So it's not like I saw it and thought it, but about, you know, less than a minute later, there was a deer in the road. So these are like little occurrences that I've always had, you know, growing up. So I would say that like Tarot being intuitive is just one of those things. I'm just so drawn to it so naturally. So I was so out of my element my whole life. And it's coming to this space, it's so warm and loving. People are so appreciative, and I love being able to help people to even get them to the place that they need to be. I don't know all the answers, of course, because I'm not, you know, the creator. I'm not God. But if it's something
right.
that I can do to help people, by all means, that's what I do. And so that's how I got here.
Wow. Now, when you were in the occult, did they talk against using your gifts or your abilities or tarot cards or anything?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was considered to be wicked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just there. I was actually really surprised. It wasn't just in the cult that I was in. It was everywhere. I mean,
okay.
you couldn't, if you say anything about cards or, I mean, especially there, though, because they're like 10 times worse than anybody, okay?
Right.
If you, it was, I mean, they had magazines on magazines, and they would tell people that certain things you cannot do. And if people
mm-hmm.
even had inclinations of having those type of abilities, yeah, you were considered to be a demon. You know,
yeah.
you were definitely yeah. known. You would be... That's what you would be considered. So it's kind of like a weird ostracizing. There's no way in the world you can know that. That's not what you can do. That's not what you can do. Now, funny part about it, when I left, I found out that they were using people like me in order to write magazines to tell the future.
Wow.
So that's
really?
The one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hypocrite.
So, yeah. But see, that's what I was saying about, this is the reason why I wanted to, it's not necessarily about the cult that I grew up in, but the similarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
mm-hmm.
these traps. It's always these things of keeping people away from things that will help them. While, you know, it's like they have all the jewels, right? They have all the diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
They have the jewels. And then they're giving us, you know, rocks, you know, that has
right.
absolutely no value. And
yeah.
that's how it's always been. That's how it's always been. But, yeah, but that's pretty much what it is. They were total hypocrites when it came down to that type
mm-hmm.
of spirituality.
Mm-hmm. And so if they hypocrites in that area, who knows what other parts of their teaching is hypocritical?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, like I said, it was definitely divisive. You know, and people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, I think one of the worst things that you can do is tell people that if they leave something, that not only that they will take your family, you know, and I think it's hard
mm-hmm.
because people can, they can hear it. People can understand when you don't talk to your family. They can hear it. But it's
mm-hmm.
one thing to experience that
yeah.
when you have
yeah.
nothing. You know, I don't have my friends. Even though I may have my family, I don't have my friends. I mean, these are people I grew up with my whole life. You know, that was the only thing that I knew, you know. So, I mean, it is
mm-hmm.
still part of healing you know, I have a good life now, but it's still, that was my whole life. That's all I knew. And it's very detrimental.
Right.
Very detrimental. So, you know, after I left, one thing that I wanted to say, because this is going to kind of transition into some of the questions you wanted me to talk about here. Leaving that part is, I believe that it has a lot to do with the subconscious mind when you're there, because you're soaking up all this stuff. They're kind of like, oh, the world is going to end, you know? So you're so fearful of everything.
Yeah.
And you're fearful of even people, because they kind of teach us that people who aren't you are bad. And that everyone that isn't part of the cult, they're going to die. This is not, you know, maybe God is going to be a little lenient. They're going to die. And so someone actually asked them this question and said, you know, well, you know, and it put them on a spot. Well, you said that, you know, even babies, and they didn't really expect that. And so they said, well, it's kind of God's decision. And I'm like, well, no, that's not what you've been teaching for the past 100 years. You've been teaching people for the past 100 years that those that were not a part of the organization or this cult, that they're going to be destroyed. You know, so you're talking about people that your neighbors sometimes give you things when you don't have it. They may not be a part of your cult, but your neighbors look out for you. These are the same people when you go out of town and you say, hey, you know, I'm going out of town. Can you wash the house? These are the people who also, help, you know, mow your lawn. You know what I mean? Like, it's that type of stuff. So, you know, why would God kill them just because? So it's that type of thing, you know, even when it came down to children, it was just, it didn't matter. Like, if you were not, it was the parents' fault. It was the parents. They were not in it. And so they will go down, too. It was crazy. It's a really crazy situation. But, I mean, part of dealing with the subconscious mind is something that I was, I wanted to get into, because it talks about some of the things that we overcomplicate. We overcomplicate a lot of things. And these people are in the business of programming. That's just what they're in.
This
is the same way outside of the cult. It's really no different. They have this down. It is a web that they have weaved, and it's like no matter where you go, you're going to get trapped. That's the same way. You didn't go to college. If you one day wake up and decide that this particular organization or cult isn't for you, what are you going to fall back on? You have no education. You have no money to do anything.
You have to depend on.
You can only do the work that, you know, people are begging for $15 an hour for. $15 an hour is not going to pay for half the stuff that you need, you know, especially a lot of these people have children. So you waste your whole life in something, and it's a constant trap. But I also feel that it's kind of like it preps your mind and prepare it to ultimately kind of turn on itself. Because generally what it is that, it's when you leave or even when you're there, you're depressed. You don't know why you're sad. It's the same way when you're not there. You look at TV, and it could be like, this is just an example. They can have something dealing with race. It automatically, we kind of get sent into these type of triggers. We put ourselves in these triggers, but we don't realize the subconscious mind is huge. So everything is kind of like a cult. You're kind of always in this matrix. You can't really get out of it. And they all have these very same similarities with how things really, truly work. Okay? So, I see things as far as that, but yeah.
So would you say that you're saying that the government, corporation, whatever you want to call it, they got all of us people in like an occult, because it's kind of working the same way.
Yeah,
they kind of programming us.
Yeah, I mean, because when you think about it, you know, everything is kind of like a religion. It's based on what you believe. You know, politics is religion. You know, who you want to date. The popularity contest is something like a religion. It's basically based on what you believe. You know, and I wanted to make this point, and this is not to ruffle any feathers. When I left, you have no idea where to go. You're like, there has to be truth out there. Someone has to have the truth. You know, there has to be a truth, right? Even if it's not from man, there has to be something that you can see, right? So the thing is with me is that I went on YouTube and I was just like, I'm like searching. I'm like, okay, I have to find it. I mean, I'm talking about hours. I would go to work, come back home, and I'm talking about hours and hours of looking at YouTube trying to figure out. And I got sucked into a lot of stuff. But eventually I'm like, I'm very logical because I have a lot of air and earth. So I'm not, I don't really function on emotion. And that plays a huge role in your chart as far as astrology. But I'm very logical. So I will look at a lot of these things on YouTube, and we're talking about everyone, you know, especially in the black community. Like you have like a million different, you have a million different avenues that you can get, that you can get to. I wanted to say before I even get to that, it was a question that you had about where do I see the world going? And I know this is going to be probably like the longest segment of it before I even get to this. You know, I feel like, you know, there is this, I feel like there's a two, it's not just one particular area. Like the world in general is going to be fine because most people are okay with how the program is running, right? I mean, they're okay with how things go. You can try to teach them, you can try to tell them, but people are lazy. They don't want to research. They don't want to, you know, if you tell them something, especially if you talk about religion, you tell them anything about God, they're ready to, like, kick you out the house. Like, you can't even get that far with them, so it's kind of like, well, there's really no point, okay?
Yeah, but, you can't talk religion and politics.
Oh, my goodness. But that's what's so huge. But that's the thing. Those are major factors. That's the thing that we have to get over first, which, you know, I just don't see it happening. You know, that's why I said as far as on a macro level, what's happening with the world, majority of people are going to do what they're told. Majority. Okay. I'm not saying that this is going to be everyone, but I feel like it'll be majority of the people. But you're talking about the currency is going to change. You're talking about, you know, now they're saying that there's not going to be meat, so people are going to be printing food. You know, we're talking about, you know, I think, you know, my sisters were just, you know, tweeting how this one guy, Little Pump or whatever his name, he's wearing fingernail polish and long nails. I'm all about freedom. It's never about trying to keep people closed in and they feel like they can't express themselves. But one thing that I will say is that your freedom is my oppression. And see, they don't understand that. This is how it works. So in order for one person to be free, then somebody else has to be oppressed. So it's, you're never really free. So you can do whatever you want, but then it always, you know, tramples on my freedom. So this is kind of where it's going on a macro level. We're also dealing with certain type of currency. I'm not like super, you know, like informative when it comes down to cryptocurrency or anything like that, but that's where we're headed. And it's really important that a lot of people get into this type of currency even now. You don't have to have a lot of money, but you can start because there's a wealth transfer happening. And so you really want to be able to get in on that.
Now, when you say there's a wealth transfer that's happening, what's the transfer? Is it people that's not wealthy can get wealthy, or is it the wealthier getting more wealthier?
I mean, the wealthier are going to get wealthier, but this is going to be people who are poor because they got in early.
Can get wealthy.
They were able. They were able to get in early on majority of this stuff. So, I remember Bitcoin when I was like, I think I was probably 27. I remember that on Facebook, and people made it seem like it was just this, like, little coin that wasn't going to go anywhere, and I feel horrible because I remember it.
Yeah.
And I think it was like only some cents back then, and now this thing is trending. It's like, you know, hitting what? I'm not even sure where it's at today. My sister would know because she's so obsessed with, you know, crypto now, but you know, it's hitting like $50,000, you know, and I'm even happy even with that I was able to put my family onto that so they could be just as enthusiastic about wealth and understanding how that works, you know, with this wealth transfer. Because right now it's not just Bitcoin. You got Ethereum, which is ETH. That's like $1,000, $1,500 for a coin. You put $200 on there, you put $1,500, even if you don't have, you know, at least put enough, this coin is going to be worth $20,000, $30,000 very soon. It's going to go. So it's like I'm seeing it. So it's like if people know, please get on that train. But, again, we're talking about things that's more so. Sorry?
No, you were saying that's the, what's the name of it again?
Ethereum. So as far as money is concerned, that is definitely something that your audience wants to get into. I know a lot of people are a little hesitant, but this is not the time. Okay, this is a well-known fact.
Okay,
your money is useless. You know, at this point, our money has no value. You know, and it's been tons of documentaries that have come out, like, what are we doing? Why are we constantly printing money? Like, you know, that this money, it's supposed to be backed by gold. We have more money printed than gold. That's
right.
Like logical. That's common sense. That means that this is just paper money. You might as well just, you know, pull out a Monopoly box and just go in and put your money, you know, when you're trying to buy gas. That's as useless and valueless as this money is. So most people are not thinking that way. So the thing is, if you use that example to people, then they'll understand that's the reason why you want to get into cryptocurrency. Another good thing that when it comes down to the future is having your own garden. Okay, you want to be able to provide for yourself. Having land is going to be very important. And let's say you don't have a home. Communities at this point is going to be really major. It's going to be big. You want to have friends and family. We got to get along. We have to. It is an urgent matter. My friend right now that lives in New York, her husband is building them a huge garden. I mean, the pictures are amazing, but she's an astrologer. She understands what's going to happen in the future. People in Texas, they're all preparing for that. And this is not like fear-based. This is just something that you see that's going to happen. It's a fact. Like, who wants to eat paper meat? I mean, a printed meat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a forum. I forgot what it was called. It was held in France. And it literally said, you will own nothing and you will control nothing.
Mm.
This is out there. This is not something that I'm saying. These are the people who are controlling the world, and this is what they're telling you that's going to happen. So if you know that in advance, not from me, you might want to prepare for that. Okay, so you're not going to be able to hide from everything, but you do want to at least have things on your own. Now, I want to say when it comes out on a very micro level, with the Black community, I want to kind of bring it in. I was kind of stating this earlier when I was talking about YouTube and like how I was so overwhelmed with so much stuff I saw on YouTube. It was just so much. And I was lost. And then, you know, coming from someone like me, we had to read all the time. Like, you had to be the best. That's just how it was. You were always critiqued. So coming out of that, that never left me. I don't really, you know, I'm not saying that I don't know that I'm Black, or I'm not even going to say that, because technically it's colorblind law. You can't really be a Black anything. Like, you have to have a nation. It's a whole part of the United Nations. You have to be a part of a nation and not of a color.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's another thing. But anyway, that's neither here nor there at this point. But being you know, understanding that, you know, how vulnerable I was when I came out of that organization, it was a little, I was dismayed because I just felt like I didn't have any answers. Because one thing that I noticed was that there was a lot of people selling religion, and you had people that were older than me who were, like, basically, you know, saying the same thing, or they got their points from somewhere else, but they were poor. And, you know, out of all the information that they got, it was like, oh, how is this helping us? So the problem that was happening now is that there is a pendulum swing. People in my generation, I am a millennial, and now you're going to get to the Gen Zs, okay? That's going to be an issue. the Gen Zs are not going to hear anything. They don't want to care. They don't care about what nobody on YouTube has to say for them. There are 17-year-olds who are millionaires, tons of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that information is irrelevant. You have people, you know, talking about, you know, and this is the stuff that I've seen. You know, this is a while ago. I don't listen to it now. But these are the people who was listening to Abrahamic teachings. And the very sad part about that is that people are even debating if he was even real. You know, it's a scripture literally in the Bible that literally talks about, I think it's like Galatian, I wrote it down. It was like Galatian 4:24 when they called it an allegory when they were talking about the two women. And so you go on Google and people are debating this. And you have people out there using this doctrine as if it's law. People are like, don't even know if this is real or not. This is
right.
It only will take a few instances to actually read. And it's just, unfortunately, our people don't read. It's so many inconsistencies in the Bible, so many. But they, you know, they're just kind of going off of that type of stuff. It's very brutal. But if they went over two scriptures over, you'll see that the very abusive nature of how they treated women. You'll go over two scriptures later when they were talking about Jerusalem and heaven was of a woman. And this is what they were. So you can see how confusing it was. So it was very detrimental. But one thing that I want to say to people, and I hope they really get this, when you read, you're supposed to be able to comprehend. And a lot of these people really were reading the Bible. They, you know, they had their Bible out there and they were quoting scriptures. They were doing stuff like that. And I'm kind of like, oh, you know, I was proud of them. But then they were missing the point. They were missing some of the biggest points that they could ever have. And one scripture that I remember when I was in Love Cult, because, again, we had to read. We had to be A1 on top of our game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scriptures was Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it literally said, you know, and I'll read it. It says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, which is his power, right? And I like to believe that God is a woman, but it's neither here nor there. It has both masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, which is the creation of the Creator. So that men are without an excuse. Now, most people may not understand what that means, but again, we have to read a lot. So that would basically mean what you see in the world will be your examples. We know that animals were made first to teach us to have, for like, examples for us. We kind of looked at them and see what they did. We're talking about ants are able to work together. They're able to build. They have different groups of ants that do certain things. We have the same thing with the bees. The bees are able to do things. They're able to protect the queen. They are working in harmony with the universal law. And here it is. They're able to protect, right? But we kind of step on them. They're like, oh, they're ants. They're nothing, you know, or bees. Let's, like, kill them if they even try to come across us. But they're really doing the thing that they're supposed to do. Now, we get to us, and there are none of those attributes that we're doing in our communities, and we're human. We're not working together. Who's protecting the queens? Who's protecting the women? And it's not, it's one thing about this whole white supremacy thing that I keep hearing, that's not going to be our problem very soon. It's really not. So the thing is, it's always about pushing forward. We can't keep saying the same thing over and over again. So that was just one of the things that I thought was very interesting when it came down to leaving the cult as far as the black community, because I truly do feel that, you know, where are we going to go? We're so far down in the hole. I don't know if we'll be able to get out of that, you know, like, and I'm not trying to sell anyone a pipe dream. I saw what they were doing with the gay agenda 10 years ago, and people didn't believe me. So now I can say, hey, how do I view the world with us? Like, even if we don't care about the macro world, even when it comes down to us as a community, what do you see? I just don't see it being a good thing for us, honestly. I just don't see it. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we are creators. I always look
Absolutely.
At things that way. And so whatever that we're in, whatever hole, box, circle, whatever it is, I just feel like it enhanced our creativity, and we always figure it out. We'll figure it out. Now,
there will be a lot of people that are, though. I definitely believe that there are people who are so, I believe there. It's going to be half and half.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
everybody is not.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come across some people that are absolutely brilliant. But, you know, I think the thing is that they were trying to put out is that we all have to be a certain way. That's just not going to happen. It's just, you focus on the people who are where you are in life. That's just how I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say, like-minded people.
Absolutely.
So you were in the health field. Kind of tell us where you see things going as far as all this COVID and health and things like that.
You know what? That was actually pretty scary. No matter where we think that this is real or not, I mean, the people getting sick were real. We had one example before we even knew COVID even existed when I was working in the ER, like next to the ER. We actually tested all the police officers. So we had all the officials. That's the ones that we actually tested. And and it was their family. And so this was before we knew anything about COVID. The ER was packed and it looked like, you know, flu symptoms. That's the only thing that they really knew. They just thought it was like something like flu symptoms. And so we had a young girl that came in there, and of course we have to, you know, we have to go in there before the doctors come in. And I noticed, and I was the one that went in. I had no mask on because we didn't know anything about a mask. And I went in there, took her vitals, I was doing all of that, and I noticed, I'm like, wow, you know, her oxygen is really, really low. Her saturation is extremely low, you know. And of course, when that happens, we do certain things on her before the doctor come in. And it wasn't working. And, you know, I asked the father what was going on. And so when the nurse came in, one of the doctors came in, she said, well, wow, that's kind of low. Well, you know, long story short, she had it. And when we saw the x-ray, it looks like broken glass. So the fluid goes up into the lungs, okay? So it's hard to breathe. You're not really getting anything. That's a real thing, okay? We were not overloaded. We weren't overloaded with people, but we saw it. And around that time, my coworker got sick, but we still came to work. We didn't really, you know, we're not really thinking anything.
Yeah, I didn't know. Right.
We didn't know. We're like in the line of fire. We really didn't know what was happening, okay? And then I started to have very bad headaches, and that was one of the things that, you know, even now when you have COVID, you have a horrible headache, horrible headache.
Okay.
And, I mean, I didn't have any other symptoms. I just had a headache. That was pretty much all I did. And then later on down the line, I was suffering from a very bad eye infection. I didn't know why. It just didn't want to go away. So I was like, did I have a COVID eye? I don't know. Maybe so. You know, we were exposed to it. Maybe so. But, you know, when it comes down to taking things, one thing that, you know, people always ask us what were some of the things that they can take. Well, they have, you know, I worked for a internal functional med doctor, and, you know, he had some famous people that wanted to come from over the world to come to him. He was absolutely excellent. I learned so much from him. What you're not supposed to eat, what you should eat. Now, this is for anyone. I can tell you this. Okay, I'm not a doctor, so I can't technically say it. But one thing that taught me is that, you know, you want to be careful when it comes down to dairy. So I don't eat dairy. I try not to have dairy. Even when it comes down to gluten, you don't have to have celiac disease. But it really destroys the immune system, especially if you have an autoimmune disease. And a lot of melanated people suffer from autoimmune. And it makes it worse. It makes it 10 times worse. And you don't really know what's happening. So let's say you have thyroid issues, you're eating dairy, which makes it worse. You're eating celiac, which causes your iron to be low. So now you're suffering from iron deficiency. So all of that plays in line with your health. Some of the foods you eat. Okay, so a lot of the stuff. So you want to get your immune healthy even before. So like even though COVID is bad, you know, your immune system has to be on point. Because even if you were to take supplements and people start saying, well, you have to have vitamin C and you have to have this, we knew the type of stuff to get. But supplements mm-hmm. only help with an immune system that's already pretty much functioning and healthy, or you're taking medications that are already maintaining, which we're called maintenance medications. Those are the only thing that a supplement would do. It's not going to kick COVID. Okay, you're not going to get better. When a person has COVID, you need antibiotics. It's fluids in your lungs. You know, generally, if people have asthma, if they can't go to the doctor, things of that nature, they have stuff going on like Amazon that you can buy. Let's say, you know, someone didn't have insurance. I know how people need to get medication if you don't have insurance. I couldn't tell it all over here because it's too long. But I mean, of course, you know, they can contact me if they want to. But you know, it's something like a asthma type of thing, bronchitis, especially if that's something that people are concerned about, because that's the number one thing that you feel, like you can't breathe. They have like an inhaler thing where it's like you put Himalayan salt in it and you breathe in it twice a day. That really clears the lungs. So even people with asthma can use that. That really helps. But again, I'm not a doctor, so consult your doctor.
Don't COVID do that? I mean, it's kind of, because I know a person that had COVID or similar, but when she went to the doctor, he was like, it's pneumonia. So
yeah,
COVID
that's what it looks like.
Symptom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So a lot of, we were, you know, in the beginning of it, you know, I was a part of the team. So, like, it was, we were basically saying it had pneumonia. I mean, they're being treated for pneumonia because of the fluids of the lungs. And especially looking at x-rays and seeing what it looks like on the x-rays, frightening.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my God, this is how the lung's supposed to look, and this is how it looks. So it mimics pneumonia.
Say that again. Is that how pneumonia looked when y'all looked at the X-ray? Is that
it
looked how it looked a little bit different?
Yeah, it may look a little bit different, but it mimics pneumonia a lot. So it's the same thing. The fluid, you know, builds up. The patient cannot breathe a lot. You know, and they feel very faint. They feel tired. You know, and especially if a child can't. And this particular child was handicapped, so she couldn't really explain. Couldn't really say what was happening. You always have to pay attention to, you know, cues, okay? And there's certain things that even we can do, even if you don't go to the doctor, certain things you can do to kind of pay attention to your oxygen level. You know, you pay attention to your eyeballs, like the white of your eyeballs, pay attention to the nails, the lips, things of that nature. But
eyeballs? What are you looking for in the eyeballs?
It's like spots. It could be like spots, discoloration, that type of stuff. Generally, you know, if someone was choking, their lips would turn purple, that type of thing. But you don't have to wait. Sometimes it's subtle things. So a lot of people don't even know that they're not getting enough oxygen to the brain. And that's the problem. If anyone is afraid of that type of stuff, so if they're afraid, like, you know, I'm sick. I'm not really sure what's going on with me. You know, I bought all types of stuff. I had already had all types of stuff in my house anyway. But, you know, oximeter is a really good thing that you can have, that you can buy. It's like $85. You put it on your finger, and it, you know, it'll tell what your oxygen levels are, your heart rate, you know. Because that's generally how you can tell is that. There's a lot of stuff that you can tell.
What happened if you do need some oxygen? Because a lot of people, they're afraid to go to the hospital unless they just really, really, you know. So
I
what
know.
Did you do to get more oxygen into your body if you needed more oxygen?
Yeah, you really can't. Because, I mean, we're talking about something that's blocking the brachial tubes, you know. So it's something that's actually blocking, and you're not going to really get anything. It has to be clear passages. So, you know, fluid is one thing that will block it. So generally, like, let's say, you know, antibiotics is going to help, but it can be the same way when you have asthma or bronchitis. Okay. You may not have fluid, but after a while it's going to pose as a problem. So now we're looking for something that's going to clear your air passages. So if someone, that's what I was saying earlier, if they don't have enough money to go get an asthma pump or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There are things on Amazon that they can buy and they can start using now because it will help strengthen the lungs. See, it's always about prevention. That's mm-hmm. something that mm-hmm. we always told the patients. It's all about prevention. You don't want to try to attack something when it's already there. You want to kind of go before. Mm-hmm. So looking
before
that,
it gets there.
Yeah, you want to kind of start with that. But it was another thing that we knew, and I think it was funny because President Trump actually said this before. You know, one thing about COVID is that ultraviolet light kills it. And it's very disturbing. And I knew this, you know, I mentioned this to one of the directors at the hospital that had our particular unit, that, you know, ultraviolet light is the thing that kills it. And there were some hospitals that were actually in Seattle that had machines. It was a black man working it. You know, they were showing how they were so happy. And it's years ago, they were, had this machine out. And how it will go into the room, leave the cabinets open, leave all of that open, and that machine will be in there for a whole hour, and it would destroy everything. And they were talking about this particular machine when COVID came out, and they said, well, yeah, this machine works. But no one was talking about it. So I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was like, there's a machine that kills it.
Ultraviolet light.
It's ultraviolet light. It's a whole machine. You have to look it up on YouTube. It's just an ultraviolet light machine. It's inside of a hospital. Okay. It's literally right there. And I already kind of had some knowledge of it. And it was when I looked it up, I'm like, okay, that's what I thought. You know, I was like, it's a machine that kills everything, you know. So when you hear that like, a lot of these hospitals that were acting like they were just so helpless, well, part of that has something to do with incentives. Like they had the incentive of saying how many people will come in inside of the hospital, how many people will, and that's just what it is. The type of stuff that you know and you find out behind the scenes is very, very sad, but that's what it is. We didn't have lines out the door. I mean, you're talking about rules was changing with the CDC every day. It was frustrating the doctors. Right. It was frustrating the nurses. We were like, what is going on? Like, tell us something because it's making us look bad. It's making us look like, you know, but that's the way it was supposed to be. You know, that's the way. And like I said, it's not that it wasn't real. You know, how many people got sick and how many people died, you know, from the actual virus. You know, it's to be determined, you know, but the thing is that the way that it was handled and what we were seeing, it was just not, it wasn't professional, and it was a little shady. It was a little shady for it to be
very shady.
Yeah,
very shady. Now, what about garlic? What about garlic? You know, if a person can't get to antibiotics, isn't garlic a natural antibiotic?
Well, garlic helps, but you want to be very careful with anything that starts with G. So garlic or anything like that acts as a blood thinner. So, you know, it depends on what other, you know, medical issues you're having. You know, like you're not supposed to take certain things before a procedure. Puncture yourself or something
Well,
like
I'm
that.
Talking about for the COVID. I'm talking
about the thing is for COVID, stuff like that is not gonna help because we're talking about this as an organ that's being flooded by fluid. So that garlic is not going to absorb it. So you need something that's going to attack the virus. You need something to attack the bacteria of it. And even if you were to take garlic, it will act so slow. Like we're talking about things that are acting slow. Garlic will still be considered a supplement. That's why you have garlic pills.
Right.
It would be a supplement.
Right.
And I've heard so much stuff like that, and I'm like, no, please don't ever do that. You know, like go to the doctor first because it's very dangerous to take something like that when, you know, you don't know how long it's been that your brain hasn't gotten appropriate oxygen that it needs. You know, so playing around with that, it can cost you your life. So it's better to at least get antibiotics, okay? I mean, antibiotics is not going to kill you, but I will say that get that first, and then you'll do the prevention afterwards. You'll start building your immune system up afterward. But, yeah, anything like garlic or anything like that, no, because we don't really know what this virus really is. We don't know what's happening or what's causing those type of reactions for it to attack the lungs in the first place.
So if a person has COVID, should they drink a lot of fluids, a lot of liquid, or not?
I mean, I would think that that will be something that your doctor will tell you to do. You know,
okay.
They'll be able to instruct you as far as what you should and what you shouldn't do. When it comes down to that, generally with people who have pneumonia, you're talking about they're so fatigued is they barely can eat. They can barely, you know, drink anything anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I don't
okay.
really think that, you know, they're in a position where they're so sick and they're so tired. You're not going to be able to really force them to take anything anyway. So it's all about
okay.
resting majority of the time. And a doctor generally will be able to explain to them what they should do, what they should take, that type of stuff.
Well,
so, you know,
I was asking because I know a person that went to the doctor, but the doctor just, you know, they didn't give them any antibiotics. So they must have not been that bad. They x-rayed their lungs and stuff, but they didn't give them
That's
any.
Right.
And
okay.
I thought, you know.
Yeah, see, but they did
and
the most
they,
important thing was to get the fluid off the lungs, the aspirated. So that was like the most important
okay.
thing. If they felt like they didn't have to have antibiotics, then that's good. They didn't have to have it.
Okay.
But the most important thing
okay.
was for them to get that fluid off the lungs. And each doctor is different. Each doctor may say, I'm not going to aspirate. We'll just let the antibiotics work. But most of the time, if they can, they will. But, yeah, it just all depends on the patient. It all depends on the doctor. Some doctors are just so old school. They'll be like, okay, this is all they need, boom, boom, boom. And they're just out the door. And the patient
right.
generally is able
okay.
to recover. But, yeah,
okay.
it all depends on how the doctor pretty much. A lot of people don't really like taking antibiotics, and I know a lot of people are, like, anti-drug. Okay? Like, they are not really for that. But it's kind of like, you know, if I knew a better way, if I knew something that we can use, then, yeah, I'll be like, well, hey, you can do this. I'm not a doctor, but it's up to you. But there's really nothing that I can see at this point that anyone can take that
okay.
would be able to help that without it being aspiration, getting that stuff off, getting the lungs clear, that type of stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll leave that subject and move on because we're not giving any medical advice. We're just talking.
Yeah, yeah. No
giving
medical suggestions. Advice, please, consult a physician.
Okay, so
I think it was one thing that you, I'm not sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to say, I'm looking at my notes because I know you gave me stuff.
Go ahead.
I know you asked something about metaphysics. I'm not sure about metaphysics. I just wanted to get this out of the way. I love it. I love science. I'm really into metaphysics. I love stuff like that. But I'm not really sure how that works, like all the details of how it works. I'm always very interested. And when people talk about astroplaning, I have, you know, a lot of family who, you know, they were just sitting on the couch and one day they were above their bodies. That's like the only thing that I know as far as metaphysics go.
Personally in my family.
And I know that it's real because of them. But I mean, as far as that, I'm not really sure how that works. I'm not really sure, you know, anything about that, you know, that whole world, unfortunately. You have some brilliant people on the show. I've heard them, and I'm like, I'm not nowhere near knowledgeable as them. These people got brilliant minds, very well read, that type of thing. So I learn from them. I definitely learn from them.
Yeah. So are you able to communicate to people that have transitioned to another dimension?
I haven't. I don't, you know, like, I'm not even sure how I can do it. I think the weird thing is certain things just come to me. You know, I don't know where I get my information from. I still don't know. And I feel like it's more so like a mystery to me. I wrote down July. I think it was like July. It's on my Twitter, but I only have like 10 people on it. So I'm going to get a new Twitter for all the people to follow. I wrote it on, it was in July, and I wrote down a list of things that were going to happen within a year. And every last one of them happened, including like Texas, not Texas being in the cold or people being out in the cold. Also people getting sick in the government. It was some even worse. It was the strangest thing ever, you know, And I just wrote it down. I'm like, okay, well, I think this will happen, and I will think this is happening. I had no idea if it was going to happen or not. It's just things that sometimes are just, you know, pop in my mind. And I'm like, maybe people should know. And then that's kind of how I go about it. So when I have like a urge, it's more, it feels more so like a urge to me when I need to get certain things out, or, you know, when I need to tell someone something, like, you have to, you know, and that's when I know that it's something that's beyond me. But that's kind of it, you know, like, I'm still like everybody else, like, not everybody else, but I'm like a scaredy cat with that type of stuff because I don't know.
Right.
know that, that it's real, but at the same time, I don't know how it works. I don't know, you know, but I know it's tons of people who do. They, you know, they say that they talk to the dead, but I'm not sure, you know, how to do that. I think I'm more focused on the living. I feel like it's more so trying to help people while they're already, while they're alive and they're trying to get their life together. That's, I feel like that's what it's about.
Problem solving. Excellent. So I'm going to open up the lines.
Okay.
And see if anybody have any questions, or if they want you to tell them something you see about them.
I would love to give like an advice card. Yeah, like advice. My advice cards pop out really fast if someone like say, "Hey, I just need advice. Like, what is something that I can do, or what spirit has something for me to, like, you know, what is it that I need to know?" And I'll definitely be able to tell them.
Okay, and the call-in number here is 323-642-1586, 323-642-1586, and push the number 1 if you have. And I'll be the first one. You can kind of see what you see. Now, I'm a Virgo.
Yes, yes, you're part of my tribe.
Yes.
So let me see. Let me see what I could get for you, Beth.
Don't put all my business out there, just a little bit.
No, it's the
I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
These are all beautiful cards. And I let them fall, so I generally let it take its time. There we go. You'll hear it pop when it's pop.
Yeah.
Here was one, it just talks about, you know, standing your ground for what you believe in. That was one of the cards that came out. It just talks about holding firm to your principles. It's telling you not to back down. So sometimes you can face different problems, whether it's from family, friends, whatever it is. They have a tendency to sometimes make you feel like what you're doing isn't right. Or it can make you feel like, you know, what you're doing is absolutely correct. But then because other people may not believe in it, you know, you can feel like, okay, it's just you. But this is like one of those cards where it talks about, you know, stand on your own your principles, own, you know, who you are, no matter what situation you're in, no matter if it has something to do with your spirituality or, you know, anything. Literally, I'll just put it out there. It could be anything. So this is just talking about, this is not a time to back down. It could be something that you can face. That someone, it could be like a little form of bullying in some way, whether you recognize it or not. But I feel like more so with this, it also talks about saying take time out to relax. It talks about being able to give yourself permission to stop and not be so busy. Virgos have a tendency to always overthink, that type of thing. And it says with you that it seems like you could be pushing yourself a lot, which is good to keep, you know, to keep yourself moving. You don't want to be like, you know, like a slug, but it also just talks about that sometimes you can pull away from your energy too much, but it's a clear sign for you to kind of rest, take some time out for yourself, things of that nature, because it could be a lot of energy that could be pulling from you in general.
Yes. Very good.
Yep, yep.
Okay. All righty. So
I impressed with that. It's so funny. I want people to understand that, like, Bev is literally like the Oracle off the Matrix to me. She is amazing. She is absolutely amazing. I felt so honored when she asked me to be on her show, even though I'm really very, like, closed in. Like, I keep to myself a lot. I have my family, but I really don't do this, so... She really pushed me to get out my comfort zone and things like that. But I tell you, she is absolutely amazing. Bev is amazing. So to me, it's like I learn from her a lot. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some things going on. Okay, y'all. Y'all scary cats. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody. Usually they hands be up. they
have
to put their business
up,
out there. She's not going to put your business out there.
It's only advice. It's only advice. I promise.
Right.
I won't put nobody's business out.
All right. So we got some. Do you do astrology too? You don't know astrology.
I'm familiar with it, but astrology is very hard to learn. So I have people that I'm really close to that I kind of get mostly my messages from. Or like if we see something that's going to happen, like more so in the future, is that type of thing. We try to prepare for it. So then I use some of their information. A lot of them are different. They'll have almost the same messages. They don't even know each other, but they'll have kind of like the same things for us to watch out for, things that we can prepare for, some things that you can see. And that way I kind of use them, and then I pass those messages on to my audience on my YouTube channel.
Okay. And what is give your information that people can contact you.
So right now, like I said, I am going to make, I'm going to make another Twitter just because, like I said, I don't have a Twitter. Like I had like one that I was using, but I'm barely on it. But I want to have one that's going to be attached to my channel, and I want to try to do that tonight because people even on my channel has been asking. It's just because I wasn't a social media person. I had Instagram, but again, when I left the cult, okay. Everything went away. Like it was like my whole life was, you know, pretty much wrapped up in that. So those were all my friends. So I haven't really built anything except for my YouTube, which I mean blew up so fast, and I'm so thankful for that. But it's because I got on the train in time. According to my friend who was an astrologer, she was just like, "You got on the train. You knew what to do. You were listening to your intuition," and that's pretty much how it is. So I caught the train when it was leaving. So yeah.
Okay. Because I know we
have. They can go to my YouTube page, and in the description box, generally everywhere, even in the about section, it'll have my email. So they can contact me there.
Okay. And I know that we have the moon and the Mars is doing something tonight and tomorrow. They conjunction.
Yeah.
They're coming together.
So it's kind of like the same thing, like the new moon in Pisces. And this is just talking about manifestation, understanding what you need to do when it comes down to manifestation. And, you know, this is all about intention, setting your intentions, things of that nature. You know, Pisces is very, it's a spiritual sign. And then you have it in the moon. Moon is talking about emotion. So it's things that you believe in, and that's where you're going to push forward because of the things that you actually have convictions in. Generally with Mars, that is what pushes you forward. It's your power. It's your passion. It's your drive. So all of this together, that's going to create a lot of things for a lot of people. So over the next, like, 2 years, you're going to see people who were poor. They're going to end up having money. You're going to see a lot of people. They're going to start their own businesses. So it's going to be a whole change, a lot of stuff that you're going to start seeing, a whole shift of things that you're going to see. And I do see that it's going to be a beautiful shift, but I feel like we need to start fighting for what we want, though. Like, we don't want to get so laxy-daisy. We do want to start fighting for what we want when it's necessary. But at the same time, it's going to be a lot of people opening up their own business, and even black people. Like this is amazing because that wasn't one of the things that we were seeing. So, I mean, you're talking about money going to be coming out of, like, places that, you know, we just never thought that it would happen. Youngsters, it don't matter how old you are, it's about your drive. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's not all gloom and doom. It is a balance that's there. So, we got to.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely not a doom for like the black community. It's not that. I just the only thing is that certain type of mentalities have to go. And I do feel like even if the mentality was still there, no one's listening. You know, it's like it's sad. I'm not trying to sound like that, but no one's not.
Right.
I've learned from Gen Z. And hearing them, you know, they can hurt your feelings. You know, and they're not trying to be mean, but this is how it works. You know, my nephew is a genius. Like, you know, you're talking about even when he was 10 years old, he was able to do math equations. Now he's, you know, in a computer science major. And, you know, he's really good. Even when it comes down to my younger sister, her drive for wanting to be successful is absolutely through the roof. You know, so these Gen Zers are completely different. So they see people, even if they're friends, if they have a lot of money, that's the norm for them. So we're talking about with us, we were so used to being not having any money. They're like, I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't want my life to be like that. So everything is about to change. So, you know, even though those are out there, I got a little discouraged. But I'm part of the transition for them because it's like the millennials are, in a way, you know, trying to help them, you know, even though we kind of have our own little tit for tat. But it is like that transition into what they're trying to do. So they are definitely, you know, more so about the money. If you are telling them something, it's about how is this going to make me money? How am I going to be successful? It is not about talk anymore with them. You're not going to be able to get that generation with that.
And they'll tell you in a minute, if you're talking to them about something and you don't have your stuff together, they're going to be like, well, why you ain't do it? Why is it work for you? They'll tell you that in a minute.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. So like those the people who are still stuck on that is, you know, they're going to stay there. The part of this whole transition and way everything is moving is that this is about elevation. So you know, you can't be staying in the same spot. And there are going to be people who are going to be still staying in the same spot. And if they are there and get stuck, unfortunately. You know, what I was talking about with the whole forum that they had in France, you know, you won't be able to own and control. So guess what? Who are you a property of? So these people are not going to have any rights. That's what it is. You know, I mean, it's just cut and dry. These people are just not going to have any rights. So a lot of times you're more so trying to gain your freedom as much as you can. And so these kids, whether they know it or not, why they're doing what they're doing, it could be something even inside of them, you know, intuitively. They're like, I need to make money. And that's all they are concerned about, you know. So, and I'm proud of them.
They
want to
be a success. You know, they want to be a success. They don't want to have to struggle and be without, you know. They just want to be successful. You can't fault them for that.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of people that, you know, like I said, it's just a lot of things that I've seen, you know, over the last, like, you know, three years, people just selling stuff that, you know, selling what other races are doing, and it's okay, we understand, but that is not going to be a problem. You know, you got one master, now you're about to exchange it for a different one, because this is the truth, this is what I'm seeing. You know, I try not to say certain stuff, because, I mean, it could be a little, but it's not going to be white people. You know, like you have a group of people who have a certain type of drive and, you know, when they want something, they will get it. They will pay their politicians. They'll pay whoever when it comes down to them getting what they want. And, you know, they don't care who you are, what you do. If you stand in their way, they will run you over. And that type of mentality, you got to prepare for those type of people who have those mindsets. We can't be talking about, you know, the religion of white supremacy. We can't, I'm like, white supremacy. That's not getting us anywhere. We're complaining. We have to stop doing that. This is going to be about how can we create solutions. Because, my generation and the Gen Zers are not trying to hear about what they have been doing or what they've done. Like, I tune out of that. I don't even listen. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, how are we going to fix it? What are we going to do? Like, we're not trying to hear. You know, it's another section of church without being in church. Like, what are we going to do about it? Okay,
exactly.
Like, we need to figure out a way to do what we need to do. So, like, this is one of the reasons why I was talking about when it comes down to the future, when it comes down to what we need to do, it is, okay, this is how you could probably make it. Start investing in certain things. Invest what you can invest. Invest in what you can lose. $10 here, $10 there. That's going to start adding up. Now, I cannot give you any type of financial advice, but I'm saying things that are logical and make sense, okay, because the dollar is not going to be after a while. They're saying it over and over again. It's just not. And I think even I put something on, like, earlier, I saw something on Twitter where I think they made a mention of banks. I think my sister sent it to me where it talked about the major banks in the United States are only giving wealthy clients that have over $2 million access to Bitcoin. So they're already starting a club. Yes, they're already starting it. So it's like they're not giving, why aren't they giving other people that? So you have to follow the trend. So we're so busy worried about Sweetie. We're so busy worried about Cardi B. We're not worried about what they're doing. So we have to get out of this thing of worrying about things that do not matter. Like it's distractions. Those are the things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was another thing that I wanted to say when it comes down to health, which is mental health. Like there's so many dysfunctions. There's so many dysfunctions. And one thing that I've noticed that you know, one thing that you'll notice when you go to school for, you know, and you have to write papers on it is one thing that I'm personally seeing. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I cannot diagnose. But one thing I will say that I've seen that seems like this has been a problem has been impulse control. And that is a problem because generally impulse control, that you will have issues like that with children. And so, you know, you'll notice even how people of other races kind of talk to you, kind of like okay, like you're a child, because we're kind of doing things that look like what children would do. So they'll, you know, they'll throw the money, they'll throw the women, they'll throw these things, and only children go after things by their impulses. That is a fact. We have done research on that, but we have grown people they are doing these type of things. Now, that doesn't make sense. Like, that looks on the outside. So when you're an adult, you're kind of like, well, why are we talking about stuff that's not even, you know, why are we doing that? So, you know, it's very ADD. You should be able to control, but that's the reason why in the community you have broken homes. You know, and I'll use this example. This can happen with men and women. I love my people, so I'm not going to divide it. It happens with men and women. You know, someone says something about a Birkin bag. People are talking about Birkin bags all of a sudden, you know, and that's all they're talking about. Or, you know, they'll have a girl post a picture halfway naked, and the men can't focus on anything but that. But see, sex is war. And see, we don't understand this is how it works. So it is a lack of impulse control. So when that happens, they can just do that. They're like, well, we don't have to do anything. Put this in front of them. Put this in. And they're like, and it's like little kids. It's like, oh, okay, let me go to this. Very dysfunctional. So it comes down to mental health. We're acting on a level as children in grown bodies. It is very obvious. That's what it is, you know. So you should not be 40 years old worried about it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And what you were saying, you know, I'm looking at what's going on in the cosmos and what you're saying about the mental health and the impulse, because we're dealing with Mars and the moon, and the moon is dealing with emotions and Mars is war. So I could see people getting very impulsive, you know, during this time when it's really intense like that. So So if you are aware where the planets are, you can kind of, you know, control yourself like, okay, this energy is real strong now. Let me kind of, you know, be aware of it. Then you can kind of keep it in check.
Yeah, I've been surrounded by people who are just, you know, whether they were in this cult or not, I've always been surrounded by good examples. But even if you weren't, it starts from the home. You know, it starts from the parent being able to give their children good, healthy food. You don't give your children red dye or dye. And I had to do that even with my son. My son has autism. And one thing with him, I would, you know, have to tell his dad, like, hey, don't don't give him this, don't give him that. And his dad was for it. He's like, okay, we won't do this, we won't do that, because it was all about making sure his mind is healthy. It was that's right. what it was about. So right. it starts with the parent. You know, even if it's in a single-parent home, it is being able to sit down with your children, even when you're tired, being able to talk to them. And I would do that. I would be so tired. But I would sit down with him, and he would want to play games. And I would, and your children talk to you, so you want to be able to respond. And I know that that's one thing that a lot of people don't do. I remember even one of, someone that I knew, she just didn't take time with her children. I'm like, listen, I'm mm-hmm. tired. I get it. But you do have time. Okay. My mm-hmm. sister mm-hmm. is absolutely brilliant. When I tell you, she is probably one of the smartest people I know on this planet. And that was one of the things that she did. My mm-hmm. younger sister is younger than us, she was the same age as my nephew. So my sister almost seemed like she had two kids. But she would always take time to play games with them. She would always do that. And they are healthy children. Little steps, little things.
Yeah.
For us to do, we don't need really major things. These are simple things. These are elementary things that we're just beginning to do about our babies. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm saying. Mental health is huge, because you're passing stuff down onto your children that they don't need. That type of load, they don't really need that on them, okay? So, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of generational curses. You're talking about generation curses. It's like, okay, well, be able to do to break the chain. Your babies
exactly.
are important. These babies are extremely important. They're the most valuable thing on this planet. And the thing is that you have to be able to say, well, when they come out, what can I do to help? It's not just about giving them stuff, buying them things. They need quality time. They need good habits. They need good food. You know, you know, I was fortunate enough to pick, you know, I'm divorced now, but, you know, I was fortunate enough to pick, a really good husband who's an excellent father. I mean, even if it doesn't work with the parents, you know, both parents should be able to work together and, help their children. So it was mm-hmm. it's supposed to be functional. It's not, you know, so we're working in a lot of dysfunctional type of atmospheres, and I feel like it does start with mental health. I don't really think that it's our fault necessarily with everything, but even just mm-hmm. the small thing will help in a big way. I really do.
Excellent. Well, Yasmin, mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying it right. Am I saying it right?
Yasmin.
And so I really appreciate you coming on tonight and joining us.
Thank you.
Even though the people did not want you to give them any kind of insight, but that's okay.
That's okay.
and they can go and check out your YouTube, which is you spell your name YASMINE star. That's your YouTube.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
and
yes,
then and so, and will they be able to contact you through your YouTube if they want to contact you?
Yes, so I post mostly
okay.
every day. So,
okay.
of course, you know, dealing with their sign, they can always look at their rising moon or rising sun or moon sign. And I try
okay.
to, you know, not just stick with love situations, but yeah. So
mm-hmm.
they'll see it inside of the description box. It'll have their my email inside of the description box. They'll be able to contact
okay.
me there.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you
yes,
again.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. And
we'll
do
so
this
much.
Again. And you keep
thank
up the
you.
Good
thank
work.
You, so much,
you are helping the people. And thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you, Bev. Have a good night. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Let me bring Eric up. Eric, are you there?
I am, Beth. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you doing this evening? Better love.
Better love, Beth. It's a very beautiful night. I'm out here in the triple black looking at the beautiful moon and the stars,
okay.
man. It's a, man, good energy. It's an 18 night, so, you know, I'm in my element. And I enjoy, I believe that. I think, yeah, nature always. And, you know, that young sister right there, I think everybody was enjoying her young energy and bringing us inside from that side, you know, from that. You know what? There is a disconnect. You know, there's a disconnect, and it needs to be discussed. I'm glad she talked about the 17-year-old millionaires and the garden and the gold and the oxygen. You know, she was hitting on it. So I was enjoying it. You know, I wouldn't want to stop that flow. She was in it, so that was good.
Yeah. And that's how she, I like how she read too. She be in her flow. She be picking up those energies.
And that's right. Hey, Bev, it's called a gut feeling.
Yes.
It's called a gut. it's mathematical, you know, it's in the gut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everything. Yeah.
Now, I know.
I noticed now.
Go ahead.
We're going to switch over a little bit. I noticed that the president of one of the African countries, I understand that he died. He came up missing, and then now he's dead because he would not let COVID, into his people. He wouldn't let them take it. Now the vice president, you know, he all in. He talking about he died from a heart attack. So it kind of just seemed like that the same scenario is going on all over the world. You know, they got rid of Trump and let this guy in that's all for, you know. So, you know, just seemed like this is just not in one country. It's all over. It looks like it's kind of, I wouldn't say all over, but it looks that way.
Wow, I can't speak on it, babe. I'm not updated or familiar with the scenario.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Nah, you go ahead.
You know, it's all interesting. All interesting for sure. You know, I'm not putting it to the back burner, but you know, there's mm-hmm. there's matters. You know, the young sister, she said solutions. I mean, you know.
That's what it's about.
I'm ageless. I don't have an age. You know what I mean? So, you know, I have to agree with a lot of things she says. You know, that, mm-hmm. what are we gonna do about? You know, I mean, you gonna sit up there and just get Muhammad Ali jabbed to death? You know what I mean? You know, Muhammad mm-hmm. Ali got a quick jab. Why you gonna stand in front of him and let him jab you to death?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah, if I'm gonna lose the fight, I'm gonna lose it and still have my, you know, still he go over there talking about he pretty. He ain't gonna jack my face up and take the money. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Come on. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. How to move? Like George Clinton said back in the day, we keep waiting on a change, and we ain't got sense enough to come in out the rain. Simple.
And we don't understand that we are the change. What you waiting on it when
already.
You are it.
Already. Yes, ma'am. 1,000%. That's it. So, yeah. No, I'm enjoying these this transition, if you want to call it that. This is a transition, you know. We've been going through the transitions all our life. Is this something new? Come on. We'd have been Hurricane Harvey through Katrina and Ebola, the pig flu, the bird flu. Oh, man. Come on. And he goes, here's the deal. Oh, the whole alphabet soup. We'd have been through it all. Yeah. But the trees and the plants and the little creatures that's amongst them and the mushrooms and the roots of the trees, they're highly intelligent, babe. They work off of sacred geometry. You know, they work off the beat and the sound of nature that was created when everything was formed in the beginning. You know, they still on that system. They never converted. Not only that, they have intelligence to be ahead of the curve. You know, like I say about the documentary with Stevie Wonder. He made the soundtrack to it, The Sacred Life of Plants. Okay, the man wanted to see if he can get a signal on his he'd do lie detector tests. So he wanted to see if he could get a signal on the plant if he gave it water. So while he walked away to go get the water, he thought in his mind, I wonder what would happen if I burn it. When he came back, the plant made a signal about the time when he thought I should burn it. And the plant, the signal that he made, he said, okay, he know when somebody tell a lie, the signal read a certain, you know, electrical, give it an electrical reading. The plant
right.
didn't want to be burned. Yeah, it made a response. So, okay, you have a bunch of people who go to these big meetings in buildings. They're going to pass by some trees. I don't care if they're in the desert. There's some little sprig popping up, reading these people's mind. Then once he say, okay, oh, these people are having a meeting about us, about nature. Let me send the signal out to the family. Boom, the signal immediately goes out to the mushroom family. The mushroom family send out a signal like a supercomputer to every living being that it's attached to. And they say, okay, what's the solution? Should we hit them with a storm to postpone it so we can get our, you know, so we can get our grid up? You know, this is the intelligence that's going on amongst us, and it has never changed. It's always been like that. So if we got to upgrade people controlling the weather, people poisoning the food, guess what? The plant life got you. They already got the antidote. The sister said plant a garden.
Yeah.
She transitioned from gold to the garden. That's the golden
yeah.
gate for me. She hit it. And then she said her family members are genius.
Yeah.
That's it. Man, that's why nobody could call in, because mathematics was performing. When mathematics is performing,
yeah.
you just sit back and be quiet.
Right.
And that's what
wow.
this is about. That is the solution. We all know it. Brother Eddie is always on us about numbers. It ain't nothing else going on. If you accepting any garbage and not putting numbers to solve it and see if it's true what they're saying, man, you will fall for anything. You might as well just go ahead and fall down on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing going on but numbers. That's the sweetest science in the universe. That's what they call boxing a sweet science, because it's a game, it's a sport of angles, and you want to do the damage with the less, you know, you don't want to spend a whole lot of energy. You want to get out of there quick. And sometimes that's not punishing a person. That's like Muhammad Ali used to do. He'd talk to you. He'd talk you tired.
Okay.
He'd give you words and hit you with 7 punches. Yeah, you know what I mean? He doing more
yeah.
damage talking than he hit. But when he
yeah.
hit, he make a count. He ain't mostly punches. So this is where we at. You know, if you have an enemy, the enemy is within you. If you get an enema to get rid of your enemy. Get light,
yeah.
you know, get a, you know, get a bow movement. Yeah, just bow the L. You'll be good. And we're dealing with the gut, you know. Yeah, we're dealing with, it's all the science of the gut. You know, all this, you know, you have to get empty, get fast. Ain't that something? You would think that go without, it would relate to being slow. But the word is fast. When you're going without, you actually speeding up.
Yeah.
Now, when you break the fast, you start putting solids back in. That's when you slow up.
That's right.
But when you empty, that's how it works. So this is where we at, Bev. We have to go back to what the natural way. Right now, Bev, since the snow melted, that snow, I say, man, God bought some of the best snow we ever had. Because Bev thinks, man. Boy, things is coming up. It's just like, man, wow, what is going on? You ought to see all the trees, the colorful flowers, man, the butterfly, the bees, everybody happy. It's amazing.
Okay.
Winter ain't, you know, usually we still get a cold snap around Easter, so we know not to plant gardens mm-hmm. early, because that cold snap will kill everything. So, but it's just amazing how, you know, how nature is just always coming forth, you know, no matter what man doing. You know, we know that we being dehydrated by the technology they have. It's nothing new. They've been doing it since 5-1, 5-2, you know, five, you know, all these G's and all these numbers. They've been doing this. This is old. You know, you go back and watch the Godzilla and King Kong movies. They come out with them trucks with them, you know, with them gamma rays, with them beams, and hit them with them beams. That's the 5G technology they were showing us way back in the day. So, you know, it's nothing new. I like that John Coltrane, man. Hey, ever since you played that John Coltrane, man, I think that hit, definitely, that was a wave that hit a lot of people. You know that? People on other radio shows talking about the John Coltrane.
Wow.
This sister brought up the word a couple of times. You know, we have a train of thought.
Right. Yeah, next week I'm going to play some more. I'm going to put some more cuts on from John. We're going to ride that train.
The midnight train to Georgia, you know, coming to America, most of it was in Georgia. Black Panther, most of it was filmed in Georgia. Why? Because they got those activated mounds and stones, you know, Stone Mountain. That's where the stones are, the granite. You know, Kwame can lay it out, you know, so beautifully about, you know, the granite territories in North America, you know. It's PowerPoints, PowerPoint. You see most of the politics that went down came out of Georgia. Some of the last stuff that was going down was in Georgia. You know, everything going down in Georgia, the peach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, impeach, you know, it's all about fruit. Bev, I don't care what's going on. Even on people's family crest, you look on people's family crest, you might see a plant coming up out of the back of the crest somewhere with just a little bit of green leaf peeping out. That's what's controlling everything. Right? Galactic intelligence coming down. Yeah, coming down. Coming down always. You know, so the brother Lester Lovett said you could put little chips of quartz crystal in your garden and that the water will stay in your garden longer.
Okay.
You know, what they got, what they got. You know what I mean? We got everything. We got everything we need. So thank you for opening up my life.
And some people put the crystals in your plant. You know, it helps. Plants in your house.
Yes, most definitely. Yes, same effect. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's it. The idea exactly. Yeah, you know, you want to up. You know, just get crystalled up. You know, get the pistol, get you a crystal. You'll be good. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is a crystal anyway. You ever seen the dark crystal? Is it, you know, the man who made the Muppets, Jim Henson? He made. Go ahead.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But speaking of movies, what's the two? You got to come on next week. It'll be Wednesday or Thursday. You haven't told me what day yet. And so you got to look at the new movie, Eddie Murphy Music, Coming to America, number two. You got to look at that. You got to break it down metaphysically. And you got to look at, what's the other one? Israel.
Roman J. Israel Esquire. But baby, let me make a correction. It won't be too much metaphysics. And we'll be looking at a whole bunch of things. And I agree with Tutmos on the movie. The movie was probably the worst production. Robert X said it. The people looked at dead because they were dead, and the only thing was going on was the youngster, the one that looking fresh, and you know. So, you know, there was a lot of garbage, but I'm gonna say it. The intelligence in every movie is the Hollywood. It ain't nothing else going on, y'all. Just the Holly. Remember we did the show about the Holly Tree Bear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The Holly Berry, the Holly Bush, the wood. How it make you hallucinate. You know, it's just like you taking a ayahuasca, peyote. It's the same thing, y'all. You know, when Peyton Manning out there wearing number 18, tonight is 18, Peyton Manning be saying, Omaha, Omaha. Ha! He called it on a plant from South America that'll make you go on a trip. If you don't have somebody watching you, you might not come back from that trip. that's what these people do, babe. That's what we're going to get into. It ain't nothing, got nothing to do with that movie. That movie is garbage. I laughed so much when they walked in there. He said, he called Eddie Murphy Kunta Kinte. He called that other brother Ebola. I said, man, look. It was so degrading. Babe, it's probably one of the worst degrading films that you see black people degrading. It was so terribly nasty. But boy, was they dropping the science. Boy, was they dealing with black magic. Boy, was they dealing with the numbers. And Roman J. Israel, Esquire, same deal, man, same deal. All the movie Us, the movie Poetic Justice with Tupac and Janet Jackson. You see the beautiful scenery of the ocean. You see they stop and talk under a tree.
Right.
It's always nature. Nature is always ruling in these movies. This is how they got us off our game. Nature is going to be the end of them. Nature is going to be the end of them. So let's go on to the gut. Let's just talk. Get into something that solves all problems, babe, and that's the gut. All right, I got some read. I won't be long. I know people want to get long. Yeah, the show is over, so I just want to make this announcement. You know, we in the presence of royalty. You know, the little sister right there, she don't even realize the presence of giants that she was in tonight. But you know, we'll let that be because that's the way the Almighty is. We all of us are always in the presence of majestic royalness. Happenstance and chances is always right there, you know. So sometimes we're just a little bit distracted and we can't see that, you know, majestic happenings is around us every moment of the day. All we have to do is tap into it. And mainly that comes with just breathing, just loving yourself, you know, not worrying. You know, if you came from a pretty dark background, her story is pretty interesting, you know. But the sister sounds like she's doing pretty good. Yeah, she sounds like she's doing real good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that. You know, we all have these stories, and I like to hear people's stories. That's what the radio was potent for that. You know, I appreciate what you do, babe. It was really potent. Babe, you allowed me to come on. I could tell her from experience you allowed me to come on. And, man, babe, I have come into the presence of great, great, great royal people. And I mean that with sincerity. This is not a joke. I can't make it up. So, yeah, so I want to make the announcement. It's all in divine order. Thank you, Bev.
Yes, it
is. Divine, and, you know, if you take the initials off of divine order, that's do. I think the sister said, let's do something.
Yeah.
D-O. Yeah. Yeah, let's do something. So, and that's the number one. D is 4 and O is 15 or 6. So that's the number one. So I think we're on the one with that. I can agree with her wholeheartedly. You know, let's add it up in mathematics. So. I want to go ahead and do my diligence and go forward, babe. But back to the gut, the grand unified theorem. This is where everything goes down. You know, the Bible is an allegory. She hit it. It's a mathematical allegory. It has a lot of angles. It has a lot of deep information. There's a master decoder of any knowledge. Any situation. Y'all know I've been talking about it. Y'all know I'm not ashamed to talk about it at all. And I'm going to continue to talk about it because I'm in the flow of it. We are in the flow of it. Thank us, like Mama AZ be saying. Thank us. We are in the flow of this majestic formula. So it's called the Gagu, the God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem, created by Dr. Gabriel Audu Oyibo out of Nigeria. He has a very fascinating story. If y'all haven't wanted to check him out, please go and research this man. What he has done is unbelievable that it's not more widely known, because if I was to tell a white community, hey, Albert Einstein is going to be on Beverly D Show tonight, man, society would be shut down. You know, people would be rushing to the air when you hear, you know, this mathematician talk, you know, about, you know, what's in his brain. So, you know, we have these solutions out here. We have these gentlemen out here. We have these royal sisters out here coming forth, you know, with these technology. You know, most technology is created by the black woman. You know, the black woman have created so many technologies. And, Bill, we talked about that little grease jar that be in people's kitchen, you know. It's not just black women. It's women all over the world keep that little grease jar up there on their stove, you know.
So we
are alchemists, you know. We alchemists, and we work with the magic, you know. But, you know, we're just a little bit in the slumber right now. But, boy, are we waking up by the truckload, waking up. And like she said, coming through the – I don't know what she was calling them. I don't know what she was calling them, but boy, I paid attention, man, because I know some of these youngsters, man, they not a joke, man. They are not a joke. They don't care, man. You tell them, oh, man, I used to walk to school. They're going to tell you straight up, man, you should have got an Uber. They're going to have an answer for you.
Yeah.
They don't care, man. You walk 40 miles to school, then had to come home and photograph and feed the ducks. They gonna tell you should have had a good breakfast. You know, you should have watched you some cartoons or something, man. Yeah. They not here. You know, but you know, hey. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's good. It's good. It's work. You know, we can't get lazy. It's work, you know. That's what it is. It's the gold symbol in work, OR. You know, 618 is right there. So it's all good. You know, I count it all good. So I wanna make this. Let me see if I can pull this this document up.
Okay.
Long-winded, talking a lot, but I feel good, y'all. I feel real good. I had me some greens out the garden. You know, I had me some carrots and some, you know, everything. All right, we grow a garden. We got our potatoes planted. We putting okra down, some squash.
Okay.
Yeah. Going already. We ain't playing around. We ain't done the major plan yet because the breeze ain't came, but. Everything this year I picked up, berries, pecans, figs, everything. But hey, nature was just going off during the COVID. My little nephew came in my room. He usually say, "Hey, Unc, what you doing?" And I say, "I'm chilling." He say, "I'm chilling too." And he just laid right there, you know, just chill with me, listen to my music. So one day I was listening to the KRS-One Unified Feel. You know, he was with Dr. Gabriel Yibo rap. Unified Field Theory by KRS. I was listening to it. He came in my room. He said, "Hey, Unc, what you doing?" I said, "We listening to." I said, "Man, I'm listening to the Unified Field Theory. Come check this rap out." So I started from the beginning. And then he looked at me. He said, "What you going to do today?" I said, "I don't know. I'm going to chill." He put his hands on his hips. He looked at me. "Chill?" He said, it's sarcastic. He said, "Chill?" He said, "Me not chill. Man, me get up. Me get up, huh?" So by that time on the rap, KRS-One is a verse in the rap where he called other rappers fakers, right? He heard that part. He went to go leave the room. He put his hands on his hip. He called me. He said, "You faker," and he slammed the door. He slammed the door. You know what that did, babe? You know what that did? I got up and put my clothes on and went outside. I got up. Hey, he was serious. Okay. Like one of the ancestors. One of my ancestors was talking to me like, "Man, you need to get up out of here, man. This COVID stuff can't stop you." I got up, babe. I went for a walk. I went to a beautiful park that I like to go to. Wasn't nobody there. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down on a bench. Squirrel came in on the table with me and just chilling. Ducks and chickens was all around me. Birds were just landing on the table. I said, "Man, I'm in Jungle Book. What is going on here?"
Right.
I said, "Man, this is how it should be all the time. This is what I need to be. I need to be like this every day, chilling just like this, calm, relaxed, not a lot of people around, going in, listening to the children, listening to the spirit, to the ancestors telling you to get up, get up." So, that's real. That's real. And I've been up and on it ever since. I tell everybody that's about that little boy, how he got me. He's 3 years old, 3 and a half. Deep like that. Yeah, deep like that, man. That's where, you know, that's where we are. We forgot our child heart, man. We got adulterated. That child heart is very, very, that's where the vitality is. You know, let's go back to coming to America. Damn, they looked at horrible. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, babe. Something was going on. Those people looked at horrible, babe. The makeup was terrible. Something wasn't right, man. The people looked at dead. They looked at pale. Like I pick up dead bodies for a living. My people used to tell me, "E, man, you starting to look like them bodies you be picking up, man. You getting pale, man. We look weird, bruh. I said, for real? So, you know, I mean, there's an aura, man, when you around death. When you around a lot of death, man, you'll start smelling and looking like death. And that's real. Your environment is very, very crucial.
It is. That's why I talk about that. You know,
yeah.
That vibration.
Man, if your area is trashy, where you are in your room, you have rooms in your house that's trashy, guess what, man? You're going to have thoughts like that, you know? It's going to be right there. So, man, so much correction and humbling I have within my life to take care of. You know, I got a lot of work to do on myself. So, please excuse me, man. Be patient with me. I'm trying to pull this document up so we can lower it. All right, I got it, Bev. Y'all ready?
Yeah, we ready.
I want to make this announcement on the God order so we can, you know, we can upload ourselves, man, with this mathematical formula and go forward. Whatever else we got going, we can just add this to our repertoire. You know, we got a black man who, you know what I'm saying, who just shining, man, so high, you know. One of the highest achievements a man can get, man, is to have a mathematical formula to outdo Einstein and Gauss and Newton. And, you know, the formula was in the movie Interstellar. You ever seen that, Bev? Interstellar, the movie about them going to Saturn, trying to find food on Saturn? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you know, Saturn is that planet 44.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot going on with that. You know, that's one of the Lord of the Rings. But anyway, his formula is in there, they modified it, but you can see it on the board when that scientist is in there, and you know, he figured some things out, and you could see Gabriel Oyebo's formula on the chalkboard in Interstellar. Y'all should check that movie out. It's real deep. But at any rate, man, this is powerful. The God order is God ordained. A black man, Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo, with the ultimate intelligence of Aetis sub infinity, where Aetis sub n, first revealed by God to Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo, is the exact formula for intelligence, and where n measures index or quotient IQ of intelligence, God has designed that n to be infinity for Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo. Therefore, Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo is blessed with the ultimate intelligence of Aetis sub infinity. Infallibly, and since God blessed black people to share Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo's genes, people are the most intelligent, the most richest, and undefeatable race, therefore the chosen race, infallibly. Wow. The Gagat Nigerian Senate Motion Number 151, with the co-author, who is a world-renowned mathematics legend, mathematics professor, Senator Aya Abubakar, with a PhD in mathematics from Cambridge University in England. See the list of authors on the first page of the Gagat Nigerian Senate Motion Number 151 enclosed. Is the declaration of the God order, by stating that Gagat, which God revealed to Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo in 1990, is capable of solving all mathematical problems, as well as providing solutions to all unsolved human problems. Bev, I got to say that one more time. Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo in 1990 is capable of solving all mathematical problems, as well as providing solutions to all unsolved human problems. Gagat, Nigerian Senate Motion Number 151, second page, within the first eight paragraphs, there go that number eight again, which can only be possible if Professor Gabriel Audu Oyebo was blessed by God with the ultimate intelligence of Eta sub infinity. This is the Gagat new constitution for the black race, and by extension to all humanity who have recognized and accepted the God order presented above. As a consequence of the God order, the black race, through the Gagat Nigerian Senate Motion Number 151, has awarded the Gagat African International Prize as the ultimate academic prize to Professor Gabriel Audu Oyibo, which the Gagat Nigerian Senate Motion Number 151 stated on the third page, be it resolved, African International Prize for Science and Technology, prize money higher than that of the Nobel Prize. And furthermore, the Gagat Progressive Baptist Convention resolution unanimously agreed with the God order by requesting all black churches as well as all black mosques, religions, and other organizations to take collections for the funding of Gagat African International Prize and the Gagat Ofapit Institute of Technology Industrial Park right away. You must distribute the Gagat Nigeria Senate Motion Number 151, Gagat Progressive Baptist Convention, Resolution Gagat African International Prize Award, letter to all black people and all others while searching for the black Flexners and Bambergers to facilitate the fundraising. You can also see the recognition of God order presented above by the rest of the humanity, for example, by Russia, together with China, who have congratulated Gagatians, Africans, globally, through their Gagat Russian Daily News Report, number 1339, number 10-30-2018, and the Chinese People's Daily, 10-2-2006, where they celebrated Gagat by agreeing that Gagat, G-I-J, capital G-I-J, comma J, equals zero, infallibly contains all of mathematics. 2, contains all solutions to all mathematics and all other problems. And 3, as a consequence of points 1 and 2, Gagat has earned all intellectual prizes, past, present, and future, infallibly, as well as ending all wars forever. The Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing is the therapy provided by God to the people, to the black people, to return back to the reality we have been forced to abandon, that we are the chosen race, which we must continue with for as long as we need to get rid of 2,500 years of the battle fatigue, the shackles as a result of being forced to act as three-fifths an inversion of our reality, and return to our reality of five-thirds, as it confirmed by the videos and attachment below. The Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing also allows the black people to get their self-confidence in themselves back and establish the superiority over Jim Crow through the introduction of Gagat origin of 2+1=3, something Jim Crow never knew and can't teach the black race. Therefore, the Gagat education is the ultimate level of education and of the most valuable education. That is what compels the black race to invest in Gagat, capital G-I-J, comma J, equals zero, beginning with investing in the Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing. No creature can pay all the full value of the Gagat education. However, we charge the minimum value for the Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing of $550, which we can't go below without contradicting the ultimate value of Gagat. For example, the Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing package has a Gagat journal, which is valued on Amazon.com at $2,199, which is almost four times what we are charging for the whole package. This is an ultimate blessing from God and must be appreciated as part of our therapy. You, together with the youth and all other black people and others, must attend the Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing for Sunday, March 14, 2021, and all other Sundays after that, until we are totally healed by the therapy of Gagat. While compelling black and all other governments to get involved with the Gagat Life-Saving and Riemann Hypothesis Coronavirus Briefing and other Gagat programs, here's the link for you to register. So, Bev, yeah, you can put this out in the chat room for the people to look at, and I've been sending it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, Bev. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. So they said that they haven't say after that. So what is it? Is it a certain day every week after that, or what?
Yeah, no, you know, it's the settings are on Sundays, and so they have the first one. Right, every Sunday. Yeah. Well, like I said, Bev, it'll be more clear when we can hear from the gentleman, from Mr. John Glover himself, and we're trying to work up to that. But until then, this is what's going on, and and so we're just getting behind. You know, we're getting behind all our people. You know, a lot of us need funding, a lot of us need support. A lot of us need to just be recognized and heard, you know, and so that's what's going on. We have a avenue to do that. Bev, I thank you so much for what you do, and you allow us to come on here and, you know, put our guts out there, and, you know, put out there whatever we have on our heart and our mind. And, man, we sure appreciate what you do, Bev. You're a master at it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your work. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
Yes.
Better love.
Yes.
Okay, everyone. I will be back tomorrow with Renee Hamilton. So join me tomorrow. And Mayat Hotep and Better Love.